Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, the 6th of August, the third day of the 47th week of war. At this time, each weekday morning, the National Broadcasting Company combines its networks for the early morning news at home and abroad. This morning, NBC brings you word of events in Great Britain and Germany and the observations of Earl Godwin of NBC staff on Capitol Hill. First, the report from Great Britain. Go ahead, London.
This is London at about 1 o'clock. Fred Bates speaking. The Air Minister communique issued a little while ago states that British fighters this morning shot down a German bomber off the east coast of England. Another official communique reports German bombs in a few districts of southeast England without causing damage or casualties. Yesterday afternoon, the communique states Royal Air Force fighters shot down an enemy fighter off the Channel, making a total of 4 fighters destroyed in yesterday's engagements, 4 German fighters. The Admiralty announces that 72,691 tons of British and Allied shipping have been sunk during the week ending Sunday, Monday, the 28th to the 29th of July. The details are British losses, 18 ships, or 65,600 tons. Allied, 2 ships, 7,090 tons. No neutral losses are reported. It is claimed that enemy losses up to the 4th of August amount to approximately 918,000 tons of German shipping and 254,000 tons of Italian shipping. In addition, it is said that about 26,000 tons of shipping formerly neutral, but now under enemy control, has been sunk. Captain Ramsey, the Conservative Member of Parliament who was arrested about 10 weeks ago under the defense regulations, will go to the House of Commons today. A few weeks after his arrest, Captain Ramsey appealed against his detention. But after hearing the findings of the advisory committee, Sir John Anderson, Home Secretary, gave instructions to retain the captain in Brixton Prison. Today, he will exercise his right to appear in person before the Committee of Privileges of the House of Commons. This hearing will be in secret and is to determine whether the detention constitutes a breach of the privileges of the House of Commons. The committee, which consists of 10 members, Mr. Attlee, Lord Privy Seal is one, will report their decision to the assembled House of Commons. Captain Ramsey will be escorted to the house by warders from Brixton Prison, where he is detained. A sudden change in Tokyo's anti-British press campaign is headlined here today. Apparently, the Japanese claim that the British arrests here were purely retaliatory is maintained. But, says one Tokyo paper, it is not becoming to a great power like Japan to be influenced by the feelings of the moment and to meet retaliation by more retaliation. A statement in the House of Commons today by either the Prime Minister or by Mr. Butler, Under Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs, is expected to clarify the government's policy regarding Japan. A Japanese diplomat said this morning that messages to the embassy indicated clearly that while the tone of their press remains anti-British, it is now less furious, as he put it. He was convinced that the release of Mr. Satoru Makihara from Brixton Prison last night will contribute to easing an acute situation. 8 Japanese still remain in custody. This Japanese spokesman attached significance to the postponement of the Nuremberg rally by Herr Hitler. The date of the Nazi Party gathering, when last put off, was followed by activity. Today, here in London, there is increased talk of attempted invasion within the next 2 weeks. It seems unlikely that that Germany would attempt this operation until she considers herself as ready as possible. Sea preparations at the back of the Baltic are reported, and air preparations at various points along the German-held coasts facing Britain. An official leaflet is being circulated here as to what to do and what not to do if the invaders come. Stay put is the gist of the advice. The leaflet says, if this island is invaded, everyone who is not under orders must stay where he or she is. It's an order from the government and must be obeyed. It also says that civilians must not join in the fighting. That's the job of armed, trained forces. Civilians should keep out of the way. Unless small invading parties should attack separate homes. And then, of course, it's every man for his family. This is London, returning you to the National Broadcasting Company, New York.
This is the NBC newsroom in New York. Central point of NBC's daily roundup of news as reported from the world capitals. You've just heard of events in Great Britain, brought to you by Fred Bate of NBC staff in London. Here is a bulletin from Rome. An advance of Italian troops into Egypt from Libya was reported by the High Command today. Officials said the vanguard of Italian troops put British forces to flight after crossing the frontier into Egypt from Cyrenaica. And now we're ready for the report from the Reich, and for this we call in NBC in Berlin. Go ahead, Berlin.
Question of the coming war against England. However, it is generally believed that this week, too, will slip by without having brought about any major change in the present military operations which Germany is carrying on over and around England right now. But nonetheless, it is interesting to watch high German generals coming and going in the Wilhelmstrasse. Offhand, that might not mean much, since it is a known fact that large numbers of Wilhelmstrasse officials are vacationing at the moment. But ask any correspondent why he is not going off on a trip into the country, and his answer invariably is, I'm sticking around for the big story. It may come off any day. And that would seem to be just it. It may come off any day. Nobody around here, of course, will tell you when. And so the German army continues with its war preparations, building airports and arsenals along the Channel coast, getting specially trained men with good knowledge of English, ready for the takeoff. Meanwhile, the German press proceeds with its work on the home front. For its readers, it draws a picture of complete collapse in England, or as the Beitzeitung Mittag has it this morning, quote, all of England suffers the nightmare of the coming war, unquote. The same paper mocks out the, quote, feverish measures to build defense positions in the north of England, unquote, and continues to say that England's greatest worry at the moment is the lack of arms. Night raids over England and Germany seem to continue at the usual rate, and last night we thought Berlin was in for a British visit. Anti-aircraft sounded off around 11 o'clock, but this was a false alarm again. It was the second one we had here during the course of 1 week. An official announcement stated that a schooling plane had lost its way over the Berlin anti-aircraft zone and had been fired upon, according to orders, without previous warning. Instigated by insurance companies, a new decree has been issued in Germany compelling all Germans to go into air raid shelters during air raid alarms. Should individuals not complying with this order be injured by dropping shell fragments, insurance companies henceforth will not be obliged to pay indemnities. Another law regulates damage done to houses during bombings. The owners are to report damage done, and the state will finance necessary repairs. As far as political developments in Europe are concerned, particularly as to those conferences which are now going on between Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary, little news is to be had in Berlin this morning. At the press conference, we were told that Germany at the moment is somewhat disinterested in the settlement of territorial disputes between these three countries. Germany believes that she has amply expressed her viewpoint in the matter during those recent Salzburg meetings and expects settlement according to plans and suggestions made then by Herr Hipper. So far, we do not know how the present Balkan discussions with Romania are progressing, and so we shall have to wait until more detailed information is published here. France this morning gets a writing by the German press in response to a military ceremony which took place at Clermont-Ferrand last week. During it, General Ehring, governor of Strasbourg and Paris, was presented with the Grand Cross of the Legion of Honor, a symbolic gesture of greeting to Alsace. Says the Berlin Sun this morning, quote, such gestures are provocations. Frenchmen apparently cannot imagine possible German reaction to them, unquote. And the same paper adds, quote, France should remember that it still has to conclude a peace with Germany, unquote. That is pretty strong language, but it has been used for several weeks. Here's some other news coming from France. Automobile factories are taking up production of cars again, but at the same time, gasoline is being strictly rationed. From Belgium, we hear that the Albert Channel, partly destroyed during the German attack, is now being reconstructed. And here's an item of interest from Holland. The German mark used in occupied territories is being revalued here. That is to say, it is now being fixed at 1 mark and 33 pfennigs to the Dutch guilder instead of 1 mark and 50 pfennigs, which was the old arrangement. Trading and stock exchange speculation with this new arrangement is being permitted in Holland. As a matter of fact, Amsterdam stock exchange information is now being quoted in German papers. Well, that is the news this morning as we get it here in Berlin. Hello, NBC. This is William C. Kirker returning you to the National Broadcasting Company.
And that's the late news in Berlin. A moment ago, you heard a report from London. And we conclude this quarter hour with Earl Godwin giving you his observations from the NBC newsroom in Washington.
Good morning, everybody, from Washington. It was very easy for me to predict that Administration Big Guns would be trained on Charles Lindbergh, the flying colonel, who at Chicago counseled a policy described as being of the appeasement variety with respect to Germany. I told you this time yesterday that you could count on a sharp attack on the colonel, and so it happened. In the Senate, New Deal Senator Claude Pepper of Florida denounced the colonel as the chief of the fifth column in this country. Lindbergh is becoming more and more of a nightmare to administration leaders because of his views and, no doubt, because of his large following. Claude Pepper's attack was one of the most violent personal attacks that's been heard in the Senate in a long time, and it included the statement that Lindbergh has been an admirer of Nazi Germany for a long time and vice versa, and that no doubt the efficiency of the German military machine had taken a great hold on the affection and admiration of the aviator, and that where he is concerned, no doubt, the German Führer holds up a worthy objective. Maybe Lindbergh believes in regimentation, said Claude Pepper, who was followed, by the way, by Illinois Democratic Senator Lucas, who in a radio address charged that the flying colonel has deliberately misrepresented the possibilities of an Air Force landing in Greenland, stating that while Lindbergh ridiculed the possibility of an Air Force landing in Greenland, that actually a German expedition had reported to Hitler that whoever controlled Greenland would control the economic and military policy between Europe and North America. And actually, as a matter of comment, no one seems to be able to draw a more bitter attack from administration speakers than does the flying colonel. Meantime, in Washington, the fight on the conscription bill is raging. The senators opposed to conscription declare the case for the draft has not yet been proven, and they keep plugging away at voluntary enlistments. Meantime, however, the Senate's Military Affairs Committee, which had the making of the bill in hand, has okayed the bill and placed it on the calendar, and as the bill now appears on the Senate's calendar ready for debate, it puts 12 million men of 21 to 31 years of age on call for the Army. Possibly the outstanding statement on the Senate floor yesterday was that of Chairman Shepard, the veteran Texas senator who heads the Military Affairs Committee. Senator Wheeler of Montana, who is very loath to admit that we need a draft, asked Senator Shepard if he believed that Hitler would try to come over and attack this country. "He will try," said Senator Shepard. "That is my firm conviction." And then there is the rather startling proposal, which was accentuated by General Pershing, to trade 50 American destroyers to the British. And now the proposal is to get some heavier battleships in return, therefore. You know, the destroyer is a very fast, lightweight, hard-hitting scout ship which can do great damage and get away quickly. We are being told here by experts that the British need destroyers badly in order to hold the English Channel. The United States, we are told, has in the neighborhood of 300 destroyers, which is more than all the other navies of the world combined. And again, New Deal Senator Pepper says that he will try to force favorable action on the proposal within a few days. A trade, he believes, would be legally neutral and not an act of war. A startling report comes from the Interstate Commission on Crime, which says that the German and Italian diplomatic corps are setting up fifth columns in the United States. The report says that Nazi and fascist consular staffs are being greatly enlarged for this purpose. Well, these data were handed over to the Federal State Conference on National Defense yesterday. And Earl Godwin says goodbye. That's all the news from Washington at this time.
And so ends another of NBC's regular early morning roundups of reports from at home and abroad. This morning you heard from Fred Bate in London, William C. Kirker in Berlin, and Earl Godwin in Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.